Is this going to take a while? Because if it is, I'd like to sit down and rest a spell. My legs are aching.
Sit if you must.
Thank you.
Dunraj sat 12 feet away from Anya.
What?
Sorry?
Leave me alone unless you've got something to tell us.
Nothing. Just that you should really think before blundering into things.
Shut up, Dunraj.
Yes! Shut up!
Anya went back to studying the fragments of the statue. From what she could tell, the gold layered over the plaster certainly seemed real enough.
This is quite the fake. It must have cost you a lot of money, Dunraj.
Far less than I would get for the actual statue.
Anya nodded, studying the debris.
The way the arms have broken off leaves no doubt that Dunraj had this manufactured and then buried in the mountain to make it look genuine. He probably had the tigers come out here when he was proposing the job to them. The sight of this thing partially uncovered in the dirt would certainly have been enough to convince them. If not, taking a sample of the gold from the arms would have done the trick. It was layered to a thickness of at least a half inch in some places, but not others. Meaning that Dunraj would have had to lead them to the exact point where they could take a sample. Probably he'd left the arm with the thickest layer of gold uncovered, and when the tigers had seen it, it would have seemed natural for them to test that arm. Clever. But why? I don't buy Dunraj's explanation. Why bother with the tigers at all? Surely Dunraj has other resources he can tap before resorting to a terrorist group.
Anya kept poking through the fragments and the plaster. The entire area was coated in a fine dust.
Find anything interesting?
Not yet.
I don't have time for this. Let me force him to show me where he has hidden the explosives. Then I can kill him.
You really think he's going to tell you where he hid bombs if he knows you're going to shoot him?
I have ways to make him talk.
Yeah, very nice. I'm sure you have a catalog of nasty things you can do, but it's counterproductive. Give me a few more minutes here and then we'll sort out the bomb business.
2 minutes.
Generous. Thanks.
Anya bent back to the pieces of the statue, and then something caught her eye.
Hello?
Anya.
Anup came closer to look over Anya's shoulder.
Is that what I think it is?
I don't know. What do you think it is?
Anup leaned closer. Anya followed his line of sight, not sure if he'd seen it yet. But judging from the look on his face, Anup had. And worse, for Dunraj at least, he was no dummy. Anup leaned back.
It looks sophisticated. It isn't store-bought, is it?
I don't know all that much about it, to be honest. But I'd have to agree with you, it looks very sophisticated.
Anup turned and hauled Dunraj to his feet.
Who are you working for? Who told you to put that into the statue?
I don't know what you're talking about. Honestly, I had that statue commissioned as a fake. If there's anything in it, it wasn't put there by me.
Anya brought out the rest of the wiring and held it aloft.
So what is it, a homing device?
I don't even know what that is.
You're lying!
Anup pitched Dunraj into the backside of a dump truck. Anup followed up with a right cross that set Dunraj on his heels before slumping down to the side of the truck unconscious.
Nice shot.
Is there any way to tell who built this?
I doubt it. As I said, my knowledge of these things is only what I've seen in movies. But it's obvious you were set up. That's why Dunraj was willing to take a chance like this. He knew the statue would presumably be going... where exactly? Well, probably your headquarters or something, right? Some secret location, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Well, don't you see? That's what this was about. That's why you were hired. Dunraj didn't care about your targets. That was convenient cover to get you in here. And once you'd seen the statue, you were lured by its value. You could buy weapons, men, training, everything you'd need to start a full-fledged war with the Indian government.
It would have allowed us to take the fight to them.
And whoever put this inside the statue knew that. And you can bet once this statue had arrived at wherever you were planning to melt it down, the army would have shown up to kill every last one of you. The irony of this statue certainly isn't lost on me. You would have all been destroyed by the very goddess a lot of your men probably worship.
I will kill the traitor now.
Wait! Don't forget about the explosives. We don't have any way of knowing where they are.
Are we so sure they even exist? He could be lying to us again. He does that quite often, apparently.
Anya held up the tiny circuit panel to which a very long wire was attached.
This must have been the antenna. They could run it the length of the statue to help improve its broadcast ability, I'm guessing.
Who is this horrible man, anyway?
I don't know. but he certainly didn't want you to find out about this device, that much is certain.
Only because I would kill him.
He was aware of that anyway. And it didn't bother him nearly as much as it should have. Wait a minute. Did you do anything to my friends?
No. Why should I have?
We were all looking for you and Dunraj, and now they seem to be missing.
Anup lifted Dunraj off the ground by the shirt and held him there.
Perhaps this weasel knows where they are.
Anup shook Dunraj hard. Dunraj's eyes fluttered.
You really shouldn't have meddled in this.
You didn't leave me any choice. You were trying to kill us. I took steps to make sure that didn't happen. Not my fault if it caused you to run afoul of some very dangerous people.
Anup shook Dunraj again.
Where are her friends?
How would I know that? I have no idea what might be keeping them.
I'm really growing to not like you one little bit, Dunraj. Did you set a trap?
How could I possibly set a trap when this lug here had me at gunpoint for betraying him? What was I supposed to do? Run off and set an ambush and then come back to be his prisoner?
Anya stood and tossed the circuit panel to Anup.
I need to go find them.
We will accompany you.
Anup shoved Dunraj ahead of him, and he fell into step with Anya.
You don't know what you're dealing with here, Anya. You should have listened to me.
At what point? When you were busy not telling me about any of this, or later when you couldn't tell me again?
You didn't need to know.
Maybe you should have considered changing your mind about that when it became obvious I was going to be rooting through your precious fake statue. Who put you up to that anyway? The manufacture of that statue must have cost tens of thousands of dollars, and it doesn't seem like something you'd be willing to do for the hell of it.
You're right. It's not.
So, who?
I suppose it depends on who would stand to gain the most from tracking the Tamil tigers, wouldn't it?
Anya moved closer to the dump trucks. They were still sitting idly by, their engines off.
Maybe you should go first.
There's nothing here, Anya. I assure you, I would know if there was an ambush about to occur.
Then why don't I trust you?
Because you have issues with trust? A sad story in your childhood.
Just keep moving.
They walked in between two dump trucks on the right side, where Cormy and Frank had taken the search. Anya held the sword up in front of her.
That truly is a marvel. Do you mind my asking how it is you came by it?
Sorry, Dunraj. You don't need to know.
Behind them, Anup held his pistol low and at the ready. Anya shook her head.
How in the hell am I partnered up with a terrorist right now? What is my world coming to when something as bizarre as this has become my norm? I need a vacation. A real one.
Anya rounded the corner and stopped. There were tracks in the dirt. Fresh tracks.
Hold it.
She crouched and examined them. One set was definitely Frank's. She could tell by the sheer size of the tread.
Your friends?
I think so.
Then they were here.
Yes, but I don't know what happened after this point. You see? The tread changes. It's no longer walking forward. And there are fresh drag marks in the dirt.
They were taken by surprise? And then their captors dragged them away? Possibly unconscious?
Who could have come upon them and managed to disarm them both? Sure, Frank's a newbie, but Cormie's a seasoned fighter. For someone to get the drop on them like this, it means they have to be very good. I don't like this one bit. You sure you don't have something else you want to tell me, Dunraj?
I can't think of anything.
I get the feeling you're lying to me again, Dunraj, and I don't like that.
I can't predict your suppositions. Honestly, the way you carry on gets tedious.
Anup shoved the barrel of his pistol under Dunraj's ear.
You are growing tiresome. I should execute you right now for your crimes against the Tamil tigers.
Oh, yes, your grand plans for independence. How stirring. How revolutionary. Please. You're nothing but a poor excuse for a terrorist organization bent on its own agenda of opportunity. You're all hypocrites, deluded into believing what your leaders tell you.
Anup, the explosives!
I think he is lying about them anyway. And in that event, it is time for him to meet his ancestors.
Typical response from a terrorist.
You're not helping your situation.
I hereby sentence you to death for your crimes of betrayal against Tamil tigers.
Are you sure about this, Anup?
I no longer care.
Got any last words?
Actually, yes, I do have a few last words. Well, one anyway.
And what is that?
Boom.
Anya looked at Anup, but the tiger was already bringing the pistol up, and he started to squeeze the trigger. But Dunraj's head didn't explode. Anup's did. and as his body crumpled to the ground, Dunraj smiled.
You see? I told you. Boom! You certainly took your time. This git was bloody close to ending me.
I did it when it counted.
What the hell is going on around here?
Surely you must have figured it out by now, smart girl that you are.
I have some ideas, but I'd rather just cut to the chase. Speaking of which, where are Frank and Cormie? If you did anything to them...
They're both fine. I had to hit Cormie on the head to get him under control, but Frank helped me put him undercover. I couldn't be sure about Anoop not going off half-cocked, so I wanted them both out of the line of fire.
All right.
She found the device. She ruined the entire operation.
Calm down. As soon as she caused the statue to fall and shatter, the operation was over. There was no way they were going to fall for it once they saw that statue break into a million pieces.
Exactly. It's her fault.
And what was I supposed to do? You were going to have them shoot us, including, I might add, Pradesh here. If you two have something going on, it doesn't seem very solid to me when one of you was willing to let the other get shot.
And don't think I didn't notice that as well, Dunraj. We had an agreement, and you seemed only too willing to forget that. Rather convenient, wouldn't you say?
I told Anoop not to shoot you, just the others.
I don't believe that for a second. I never heard Anoop say anything to his men about only shooting us. Unless they had telepathy, you're lying.
You'd better have a good explanation, Dunraj, or else you're in trouble, my so-called friend.
Dunraj fell silent and leaned against the dump truck, a sullen expression on his face.
I'm sorry you got wrapped up in all this, Anya. It's gone from chaos to worse, but I'll try to explain it as best I can.
Let me see if I can put it together. It's not my first time in the company of spooks.
It's not?
Unfortunately, no. You all seem to have the bad habit of springing up like weeds when least desired. So you must be with, what, NIA?
Not even close. Research and analysis wing, actually.
Never heard of it.
Good. Not many people have unless you keep your finger on the pulse of the intel community.
You're new?
No. We've been around for a while. In the shadows, where all the successful spooks live.
And him? Is he with your organization too?
Hardly. He does what we tell him to, and that's it.
Oh, goody. Another convenient relationship between an intelligence agency and a less-than-desirable individual. Let me guess. You knew all about his twin brother.
His late twin brother, you mean?
Whatever.
Yes, we knew about him. It was how we cemented our relationship with Dunraj.
And you put up with the fact that you had not one but two monsters on your payroll. Why?
The problem with criticizing intelligence agencies is that everyone always takes such a short-sighted view of things. For the most part, intelligence is long-term. Our worldview is so different that criticisms inevitably falter because by the time any judgment gets levied against us, we've proven our case.
This whole thing was an operation?
Part of it. The rest was just to convince our targets it's real.
And Dunraj, explain how he became a part of it.
We knew that Dunraj had skeletons, and we also knew that he was hungry for success. That success couldn't possibly come without competition, so we entered into a relationship to facilitate his ascent into the richest segment of society. We got his hands wet with money, and naturally, he quite liked the lifestyle.
Of course, he's a narcissist.
We had a plan, of course. Dunraj's wealth would naturally put him into conflict with others. It's inevitable. Developers try to outdo one another. The rich like to play their money games.
But?
No buts. We knew a man like Dunraj would eventually have enemies. And he would need a means to deal with those enemies. The logical tool would be outside help. One way or another, his success would bring him close to a number of India's enemies. And that is exactly what we wanted.
But you had no idea how long it would take, or even who it might be. How could you afford to play that game?
You said that you've dealt with spies before. You're surprised by this?
I guess not. I just find the entire business unpalatable. The people you're forced to deal with.
Our goal was to track the Tigers back to their operations base, presumably in Sri Lanka, but we'd had reports of them having a forward operating base in southern India somewhere. Once we had the location, we were going in.
To arrest them?
To wipe them out. You can't take a chance that they'd get out of prison and come back for vengeance. The best way to deal with terrorists is to put them down like animals.
Charming.
None of this was ever supposed to be seen by civilians.
And what about the innocent people killed by Dunraj's crazy brother?
Unfortunate, but within the scope of the operation, acceptable.
Not to their families.
Their families will be well compensated by the government in some form. Dunraj's company will no doubt pay damages. My people will sort it out and ensure that the families are taken care of. Money is the best way to ease the grief.
Says you. These people were fathers and mothers and sons. No money will ever make up for their family's losses.
Anya, I told you it was a regrettable part of this affair. But we have to move beyond that. Once we figured out that Dunraj's brother was out of control, we sent Dunraj in to straighten him out. But by that point, you and Frank had already blundered in. Since then, we've been scrambling to make sure the operation didn't fall apart.
Oops.
Yes, it's all bunged up now, isn't it? We've had this in motion for over a month now.
Just a month? I thought you got to Dunraj ages ago.
No, we did. But the Tiger connection only started about a month ago. As I said, we think long term. Try to fake something like Dunraj having competition, and it looks fake a mile away. But when you get media coverage backing it up, and certain projects get derailed, and even sprinkle in some shadowy skeletons into his past...
Dunraj shuffled a few feet away, his hands in his pocket. Anya nodded at him.
He doesn't like being talked about like that.
He's an asset. They never like hearing about their status as a pawn in a larger game. He'll be all right.
So, what happens now? The Tiger operation is blown, but you can't put Dunraj back out into the cold again, can you? The other Tigers will come looking for him.
We'll roll this up in such a way that he's still viable. I've done things like this before.
Does it always work out?
Usually.
Usually?
Sometimes it doesn't. And our assets become... negligible.
Which means what? You yank support?
We have no choice. We can't risk exposure. Our mandate is that we only answer to the Prime Minister, and that's caused us problems in the past. The less the Indian people know of our activities, the better.
You're not quite the police officer I thought you were.
If it makes you feel any better, I started out as a cop. That's why the cover fits me so well.
Your poor mother. If she only knew what things you get up to in the name of your country.
My mother's dead, Anya. I'm an orphan.
You took us to eat at your mother's restaurant.
That woman is part of my cover. Legending, we call it. A little more in-depth than your usual backstopping material like fake credit cards. But effective at selling a story. She's a wonderful old actress in our employ. And she does a very respectable job at cooking, too.
Why would she agree to stay there?
She gets a great salary from us, plus whatever her business makes. It's all hers, tax-free. When we need her, she's there to supply a convincing story, and that's it. She's never in danger, and she likes the thrill of it.
Can we go collect Frank and Cormy and get out of here? I'm a little worried about where Dunraj has gone.
Absolutely.
Anya and Pradesh sprinted toward the trucks. Anya rounded the corner first, her sword held high, ready to strike down whoever was threatening. What she saw when she got there wasn't what she expected. Cormy lay in a pool of blood. Frank was next to him, trying to stem the flow, but Anya could tell it was going to be a losing battle.
What the hell happened?
Dunraj! He pulled out a gun and shot Cormy!
I'll be fine.
Anya looked at Frank and saw the concern etched on his face. Cormy had been shot in the upper abdomen, and the bullet had likely punched into his heart. The blood flow, typical of an abdominal wound, was tremendous. She knelt next to him and sent the sword away.
I owe you a tremendous debt of gratitude, Cormy. You saved my life and Frank's. You kept watch over him. You lived up to your pledge.
I have done my best. I only hope it is enough to outweigh the bad in this lifetime.
You should be proud. I'm certain you will be properly rewarded.
Cormy gestured for Frank to stop. Frank pulled his bloody hands away.
My time is here. Allow me to go with dignity.
Cormy, I can...
No, you can't. My heart. It's all right. I die happy.
Anya watched as his eyes closed, and Cormy slumped to one side.
What the hell did Dunraj shoot him for? Then how come he didn't shoot me?
I don't know. Still think your asset is under your control, Pradesh?
I told you I had to roll this operation up. Well, I think the time has come to do just that.
And Dunraj?
It's a terrible thing when unlicensed construction projects suffer a tragic mishap. You'll never know who could be buried under all the debris.
We find him, and then we take him to the police. The real ones. And you need to get the hell out of here, Frank.
But...
I don't want to hear it. I know Cormie liked you and thought it was his duty to protect you. Well, it's my duty now. And you work for me on this assignment. Do as I say. Grab a truck and leave. Head for Hyderabad. Go to the hotel and order room service. Get drunk or something. Find a cute waitress. I don't care. Just get gone from this mountain.
Yeah. All right.
Frank went to wipe his hands in the dirt.
No sense heading through the lobby with hands that look like I committed murder.
Good plan.
What about you guys?
Don't worry about us. We'll find Dunraj.
All right.
Anya bent and twisted as she dropped. Pradesh scrambled for cover, but a round had caught Frank. He rolled over and squirmed his way next to a thick rubber tire for cover.
Anya! He got me!
Anya dashed over and crouched near where Frank was clutching his thigh.
Is it bad?
I don't know.
Anya pried his hand away and sagged in relief. The bullet had grazed the outside of his thigh. There was blood and probably a lot of pain, but Frank would survive.
How's Frank?
He'll live.
Dunraj has got to be around somewhere.
Pradesh stuck his head up. Several rounds caught the windshield of the truck closest to him and showered the agent with glass.
You're right. He's out of control.
You think? All right, Frank. When Pradesh and I figure out where Dunraj is, you're only going to have a limited time to get a truck and head for the tunnel. If he figures out that you're escaping, then he'll shoot you.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
Get in the cab, wait until you hear me shout for you to go, then hit the gas and don't stop until you're clear of this mountain. I'll come find you later, all right?
Take care of yourself, Anya.
You too.
Anya scurried over to Pradesh.
What's he waiting for? He could charge us with the AK and kill us before we knew it hit us.
He's not a soldier. It's one thing being up close with a pistol on Cormie, but using an assault rifle is quite another, and he knows we're armed. No, he's up to something. I just don't know what.
The explosives.
Huh?
Explosives. When Anoop had the drop on him, Dunraj mentioned he'd had this place wired to blow.
I'm going to need a serious vacation after this.
Me first. Where do you think he is?
There's a small dirt pile beyond that last truck there. It would give him the tactical advantage of higher ground. The gunfire seems to be coming from that direction.
Then we'll need to hit him from two sides.
I'll go left. Give me 30 seconds to get into position, and then we hit at the same time.
You'll need to start since you've got the gun. Distract him with a few shots, and then I'll move in close.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not gonna hurt him unless I absolutely have to. It's long past time this guy was in custody.
Anya got low to the ground, figuring the lower her profile, the less chance of Dunraj seeing her. Across the way, Pradesh had the same idea. He snaked along the ground, trying to cut the distance to where they thought Dunraj was hiding. Anya kept slithering along the dirt track. The trucks loomed over her, but provided excellent cover. She took a moment to look back at where she'd left Frank, but he was gone from his spot. He would be climbing into a truck cab, waiting for her to shout to move out. Anya drew closer to the hill of dirt and rocks. Out of the corner of her eye, she spotted movement and knew it would be Pradesh squirming along at about the same pace as her. It was critical they reached their staging points at the same time. Anya kept moving. Directly ahead of her, she saw the base of the pile of dirt and rocks. She was coming to the last cover the trucks afforded her. This was it. Anya steeled herself and bunched her legs under her, set to sprint for the base of the hill and try to cover the open ground as quickly as possible. The less time she was exposed, the less chance Dunraj would have of taking aim at her.
Frank, now! Get out of here!
Anya dashed from cover at the exact same moment as Pradesh. They hit the base of the hill at the same time. Anya looked down the way, and Pradesh gave her a thumbs up. She nodded. Pradesh checked his pistol. Anya held the sword, feeling its power in her hands, in her body. She pulsed with the energy of the blade. Pradesh started up the hill. Anya clambered up behind him. Pradesh reached the top and let loose two shots. Now that she knew Frank had heard her, Anya came over the top of the hill with her sword at the ready. But Dunraj was nowhere to be seen.
Where the hell did he go?
Damned if I know. I could have sworn he was here. After all, the shots came from this area, didn't they?
Yes, so I thought. But if he's not here, then where could he be?
Haven't found me yet, have you? I'm having a lot of fun with this now. Imagine the intrepid intelligence agent and the fearless archaeologist with the sword being unable to locate one man. I love it.
Frank's truck trundled toward the exit. Anya watched it hit the on-ramp, and then it was through the tunnel.
Ha! And where does your young friend think he's going? Back to the city? Not if I can help it.
Anya felt the concussion wave even as Pradesh was pulling her to the ground. A massive cloud of dust exploded out of the tunnel. She tried to get out of Pradesh's grasp, but he held her firmly.
Frank!
Don't, Anya. That's what he wants. Once you're in the open, he'll be able to get a shot on you. Don't give him that satisfaction.
Frank. Oh, Frank. Damn it. This is all my fault.
If we don't stop Dunraj, he's going to bring this whole mountain down on top of us. And he'll get away. But we can't let that happen.
Anya took another look at the tunnel. The backside of Frank's truck still jutted out into the work area. But she couldn't see the cab. And judging from the thick black smoke issuing forth from the tunnel, it was a firestorm in there.
The fire might bring down the tunnel. We'll have to find our way out through Dunraj's brother's condominium and the secret passage out onto the mountain.
Did you say condominium?
Long story. But if Dunraj has blown this exit, then my bet would be that's where he's heading.
And that's where we're going too. You lead, I'll follow.
Anya took point as she came around the pile of dirt and rocks. She halfway expected to be on the receiving end of more gunfire. But nothing greeted her as she stuck her head out. She dashed for the cover of the trucks.
We need to move faster, otherwise we'll start blowing the tunnels behind him.
Does he have that much explosive? I didn't think he had any schooling in this stuff.
He told me that he'd been a paramedic back during his college days. Maybe he picked it up somewhere in England?
It's possible, I suppose, but nothing we had in our files indicated it.
Wouldn't be the first time an intelligence agency got something wrong, though, would it?
No, it wouldn't. You think it's clear?
One way to find out.
Anya ran up the slope with her sword at the ready. But upon cresting it, she found only the scattered wreckage of the worksite. All of the workers who weren't dead or injured had already fled. And those that were left were too close to death to even care.
The workers have abandoned the sinking ship, and they left these guys behind.
They couldn't be evacuated. That guy's injuries are too severe. This whole place is going to be a write-off. Everyone that was able to has already left.
Except for Frank.
I'm sorry about your friend. I liked him. Really good-natured sort.
I'll sort things out with Dunraj when I catch up with him. Let's keep moving.
Up past the site where the fake Kali statue had been buried, Anya paused. She had to round a corner, and remembered from the first time she'd stumbled out here that there were plenty of places to take cover. Dunraj could be behind any one of them, ready to shoot the two of them at will.
What are we waiting for?
You see that rock?
Yes.
That's where I hid when I found this place. It gave me a great vantage point to observe everything happening out here.
You think Dunraj is there?
He might be.
Well, we can't stay here forever.
Pradesh ran into the open. Anya braced for the explosion of bullets, but nothing happened. Pradesh reached the rock and checked behind it, his gun out.
Nothing. Let's keep moving.
Anya paused and took one final look at the work site. Was that movement down by the tunnel? She held up her hand.
Wait!
It was. She saw the person turn and hold up a giant hand.
Oh my God!
Anya!
It's Frank! He's alive!
Anya ran back down the slope through the trucks. Frank's face was covered in smoke and grime, but he was walking and stumbling. Anya caught him up in a hug.
I thought you were dead!
Yeah, me too.
What happened?
Well, the place exploded in front of me, so I slammed on the brakes and tried to reverse. By then it was too late, so I waited for the debris to stop falling. I figured it was safer in the cab than outside of it. It took me a while, but I got out. Had to move a few stones, but I managed.
Thank God.
You all right, Frank?
Pretty good, yeah, Pradesh. Thanks.
You had this one crying over you, that's for sure.
I was thinking about how inconvenient it would be to have to drag a coffin back through customs into the States.
Gee, thanks.
How's your leg?
I forgot about the gunshot wound when the bomb went off, actually. But it's fine, just a little sore. I can deal with it.
Good. Well, as much as I'd hoped to be able to pack you safely away, it appears you're stuck with us.
Good. I've got a few things I'd like to do to that punk when we catch up with him.
Wait in line.
The greater head start we give him, the greater chance he'll escape.
Can you move?
Try to stop me.
Let's go.
They started back up the slope quickly, pausing only while Frank helped himself to an MP5 that one of the tigers had left behind when he was busy dying. At the top, they again paused while Anya scouted ahead. The area where the fake statue had been buried was deserted, but something inside her told her that Dunraj wasn't that far away. They regrouped near the entrance to the condominium. Pradesh looked at the rock wall in front of him.
It's carefully disguised. Are you sure this is the way back inside?
I came out this way twice. It's the way we get back into his brother's condominium.
I remember it too, although I kind of wish I didn't.
Soon enough, this will all be a bad memory.
That I'd prefer neither of you ever talk about again.
Don't worry about that.
Pradesh examined the door.
It doesn't seem to be wired. What are the odds it will swing right open when we try it?
Only one way to find out.
Anya held out her sword and watched its gray light reflect on their faces.
Are we ready?
Yes. Since I have the pistol, I'll take the lead. Anya, you follow me, and Frank, you bring up the rear.
Gotcha.
They positioned themselves outside of the entrance. On a count of three, Pradesh yanked the door open. They plunged into the room through the walk-in closet. Anya went to the left of the room, clearing as much as she could. But the bedroom was empty. Pradesh put a finger to his lips and motioned them to keep moving. They moved into the living area next, but it was apparent that Dunraj was not there.
He could be anywhere by now.
I'm telling you, he's still here.
What makes you so sure?
Because he hasn't blown us up yet. Either he's bad with bombs or he's still here. And since the tunnel exploded when he wanted it to, I'm guessing it's the latter. He's still here, somewhere.
But how are we going to find him? I don't know about you guys, but the thought of running around this place in the pitch dark doesn't sound like a fun way to spend my night. Plus, my leg is smarting like a bastard.
We should get you out, and this time I mean it. We can exit the condo and take you to the exit that Cormie showed us. You can follow the game trail down to the foot of the mountain and get some help at the residential complex. Someone there can see to you. Can your people assist, or is that asking a bit much?
He's better off with the cops. You know who to call and what to say?
Yeah.
If my people, my real people, find out that you guys know about this operation, then it won't go over well at all. I'm supposed to be deniable, you know? And so are my activities for the nation.
All right.
Anya took them back to the slope that revealed the exit in the rock. She breathed in the fresh air.
I could get used to breathing that, after having been in this place for a few days.
The sooner we find him, the sooner we can both be breathing clean air.
You all set, Frank?
I was going to ditch this MP5, but then I thought there might be a chance I'd meet Dunraj on the way down. I'm taking this puppy, and I'm keeping it until I see you again.
Just don't shoot me.
Don't sneak up on me, then.
I'll find you when we're done.
Frank nodded. She watched him crawl out through the doorway built into the rock, and then she shut the door. She waited a moment until her eyes started to readjust to the dark. Then she came down the slope where Pradesh was waiting.
Now what?
I've been thinking. What would keep Dunraj here when he could be anywhere else?
I don't know. He likes being inside a mountain?
Dunraj doesn't do anything unless he's sure he's going to make some money off the deal. When we approached him, that's how we got our hooks into him. We made sure he understood how much cash he stood to gain if he played ball.
And what, you think he's got something still here that he wants?
That's exactly what I think. But what would it be? It would have to be something of significant value. After all, if he's going to blow this place up, that means he loses that highway and the thoroughfare that would open him up to being first to develop the region. That means it's got to be worth an awful lot of money.
The only thing I can think of that has any worth at all was that supposedly golden statue of Kali you guys were going to give to the tigers.
Yes.
But that's not actually based on something real, is it?
When we broached the idea of it, Dunraj suggested we come up with some way to implant the tracker on something valuable. But we suggested the statue idea.
Are you sure?
What do you mean?
As much as you guys were playing Dunraj, it sounds like he might have slipped a little something past you. What if he actually found an amazing statue, but he knew there was no way he'd be able to get it out of here without you knowing about it? So, he comes up with a neat idea that lets you guys think you thought of it. But it's something he wanted you to develop.
It's possible. I suppose.
Let me ask you this. Who designed the statue?
Dunraj did a sketch. It wasn't anything amazing, but we were in the conference room and he sketched something on a napkin. 10 arms, jewels, golden. Oh, damn it. This thing just keeps getting worse.
Come on.
Where are we going?
To the only place where Dunraj can get something like that out of here. The work site.
But the tunnel's blocked.
If I know Dunraj, and I think by now I've got a fairly decent idea of the way his wacky mind works, then I'm guessing he's able to unblock it. In fact, I'm willing to bet that that explosion was all for show. He got us to do exactly what he wanted. He got us away from the very place he needs to be.
They raced back through the passageway, the condominium, the closet, and then back out into the passage that took them to the work area.
He's already got things going.
We've really underestimated him. I won't make this mistake ever again.
I just hope it's not too late.
Stay low. We don't want him getting advance notice that we're back.
Anya led them down to the large outcropping that she'd used for cover the first time she was here. Anya thought she heard 2 separate engines.
I thought the workers all left.
Except the ones who looked like they were dying. But they couldn't be doing this work. They were too badly injured.
Well, someone is.
They peered out from behind the rocks, and Anya saw what she expected to see. The crane that had lifted the Kali statue when she and Frank and Cormie had been close to being executed by the tigers was back in operation. And overhead, she saw an exact replica of the first statue. The 10-armed statue of Kali gleamed in the bright work lights. Even from this distance, Anya could see there were significantly more jewels bedecking the statue than the fake had possessed.
There it is.
Only this is the real thing. It's even more beautiful than the fake we had manufactured to fool the tigers.
What do you think that's worth? Honestly.
Depends. If he melts it down and pries all the jewels off, it would certainly be a lot of money. But I think it would be worth more if he keeps the statue intact. A collector would pay an incredible amount for that.
But who would buy it?
This is India. We've got plenty of billionaires now. Any one of them would be inclined to snatch up something like this on the black market. And Dunraj would certainly be able to hide for as long as he liked.
If that's his plan, I don't think he's gonna hide at all. I think he's gonna go public with news of your operation here. That's how he'll get his life back.
We'd kill him first.
Don't be so sure. If you've got him working for you, then this will be the only way he sees possible to get out from under you. Expose your agency and what you are about to do. Expose this worksite and the victims here. Even if his claims are outlandish, they'll put you guys under such a microscope, the agency won't survive without a massive reorganization. You told me that your group had already had problems in the past because you report to the Prime Minister, yes?
Yes.
Well, then that's it. Dunraj gets a nice payday, he keeps his reputation in business, and he gets out from under your organization. It's a win-win-win.
All this time, we thought we were playing him. And the Tigers?
I'm sure the way Dunraj spins the story, he'll come out looking clean, and then the Tigers will have good reason to continue their activities against the governments in both Sri Lanka and Delhi.
Well, then there's a very simple way to put an end to this.
Pradesh started to stand, but Anya jerked him back down to cover.
Wait.
What is it?
Look.
A large dump truck was rolling up the slope. If Pradesh had stood, the driver would have seen him.
Wait until it stops. Dunraj will probably be distracted then.
Which one do you want?
Dunraj.
I'll take the truck driver then, at the same time.
And the statue?
Can we talk about that later?
Anya smiled, but then her smile died when she saw the driver of the truck get out. She looked back at the crane's driver's seat. Dunraj sat there manipulating the controls. Anya looked back at the dump truck driver. It was Dunraj all over again.
The twin. He's not dead after all.
How's that possible?
Did you see the corpse?
I did. And he sure as hell looked dead when the medical team paraded him past us.
Clearly that wasn't the truth. I wonder about a lot of other things. We need to make sure Dunraj doesn't have this place wired. If we hit them fast and hard enough, we ought to be able to ensure he doesn't set this place off.
Agreed. We go?
We go.
As Dunraj, or was it his brother, came around from the dump truck, Pradesh made his move. He slunk forward like a stealthy snake. Anya didn't wait to see what happened next. She was already heading for the crane's cab. She jumped the last few feet and landed on the tracks next to the cab compartment, The look on Dunraj's face was one of absolute surprise, but it didn't stay long. He immediately shot a hand out. He slammed the cab's door into Anya, knocking her off. She had to roll to dissipate the shock of the fall. In her peripheral vision, she saw that Pradesh was involved in a fistfight with the other brother. Maybe his gun had jammed. But then Anya was up and heading back for the first brother. A bullet hit her blade, and the impact made her almost drop it. She ducked as the bullet went wide. Dunraj was out of the cab now, although the crane was still moving, with the hoisted statue of Kali still dangling overhead. He fired another shot.
Kill the cop and then get her!
Dunraj ducked back into the cab. He threw the crane into gear, and it shuddered as the track started grinding up the dirt around it. It spun directly at Anya. Still gripping her sword, she dove as the crane trundled past her. But Dunraj knew how to manipulate the crane, stopping and turning it on a dime before heading right back at her. Anya had to dive again to escape being ground under the caterpillar's tracks. She was running to get away from it, but then she turned and waited. The crane bore down on her. Overhead, the statue still dangled, precariously waving back and forth from the motion of the crane now that Dunraj was using it to try to run her over. She could see Dunraj smiling through the crane's windshield. He gunned the engine. Anya was trapped between two parts of the wall, and the crane was coming right at her. She flipped the sword over and took a running step toward the crane. Then she launched the blade like a javelin, aiming it right at the windshield. The sword went through the windshield and into the center of Dunraj's chest. He fell forward onto the crane's controls, and it lumbered to a stop inches away from Anya. Pradesh was squatting with the other brother in his sights, but the brother was weaving and ducking, and Pradesh couldn't get off a clean shot. The villainous man was running for the tunnel. If he got to the trucks, he could escape. He wouldn't go far, but Anya couldn't let him even get close. She looked back at the crane, and then she was running for it. She climbed aboard and tossed the body out of the cab. She visualized the sword, and it was back in her hands. Anya looked at the crane's controls and pushed the throttle forward, gunning the engine. She waved Pradesh aboard.
Come on!
Pradesh swung himself up next to her in the cab. In front of them, the fleeing figure dashed ahead. But he was too fast, and the crane didn't have as much speed on the straightaway.
We're not going to catch him!
The statue swung back and forth like a giant pendulum as Anya pressed the gas pedal again. But Pradesh was right. Dunraj's brother would reach one of the trucks before they could catch up with him. He was still weaving, and Pradesh couldn't get a decent shot off in time.
We've got to stop him!
Take the controls!
Pradesh swung into her seat, and Anya studied the panel. As they got close to the truck yard, Anya found the control she wanted and studied the fleeing figure ahead of them.
You think he has the detonator on him?
There might not even be one. We've got to make a move!
If he's wired, we'll kill ourselves in the process.
What choice do we have?
None.
She studied their quarry's rhythm.
Anya, now!
There was a sudden lurch as the weight dropped from the crane. Anya watched the statue fly through the air, and then its shadow loomed large over the fleeing brother. The man stopped, turned, and in that split second, saw the reality. The statue came down directly on top of him, crushing him like a bug. Pradesh killed the engine. A dark stain blossomed around the edge of the statue.
Ouch.
I'm thinking that might just be one of the most terrible ways to die. Death by the statue of Kali.
Agreed. But we didn't have any choice. I'm just glad it's over.
It sure as hell had better be.
They climbed out of the crane's cab, and Anya ran back to check on the first brother she'd stabbed through the chest. His eyes were wide open, but he was very much dead. She looked up when Pradesh came walking over.
That was some throw.
He was trying to run me down. It was either launch the sword or dive under the crane. I'm not a fan of throwing myself under large machinery.
I can't say I'd be in a rush to do that either. But it was a great shot.
Thank you.
We should probably check on the other one.
That's gonna be messy.
Yes, it will be.
Shame we couldn't use the crane to simply lift it off of him.
You released the cable. No way to string it back up without help. How did you know how to do that?
I didn't. I guessed.
Lucky for us, it worked.
As they wandered over to where the statue was embedded in the ground, Pradesh nodded.
I see a hand.
It's incredible how upright this thing is standing. Almost as if this is where it was supposed to be the entire time.
Are you finding religion now, Anya?
I respect all religions, Pradesh. The fewer deities I piss off, the happier I'll find myself when my time finally arrives. I hope.
Well said. This has been some adventure for you, hasn't it?
It's been interesting.
I get the feeling you've had plenty of others. You and that incredible sword of yours. It's a gift from God, and I don't think you're going to find yourself apart from it for a very long time to come.
The responsibility of wielding it can sometimes get to be too much, but I can't ever imagine being without it. Do me a personal favor, though.
If I can.
Don't ever tell anyone about this. There's nothing top secret or super spy about it. I was chosen to possess it for some time, and that's all there is. It's just me and the sword. I don't need to know that the world's intelligence agencies are gunning for me because of it.
I give you my word that I won't mention the sword's existence to anyone. It's the least I can do.
Thanks. So what happens now?
Now? Now I clean this mess up. Literally, it looks like. I'll grab a truck and head back to Hyderabad and get the cleanup crews out here. This site needs to be expunged from the earth. The operation has to vanish.
And the tigers who were here?
Unfortunate accidents of Dunraj's betrayal. I walk away from this, as does my agency.
Back into the shadows.
Exactly.
If you ever get to New York, look me up. I'd tell you my address, but you probably already know it.
I might.
Wait, which is it? You know it, or you might look me up?
Would you like a lift back?
You know what? I'm gonna find Frank and walk down the mountain with him. Our car's still down there somewhere. We'll drive back. The normal way.
Flying home tonight?
I might have time for one more meal before we say goodbye to Hyderabad.
I know a place.
I bet you do. Say, 3 hours?
I might be able to fit you in.
By the time Anya was headed back down the winding mountain trail, the sun was just beginning its trek toward the western horizon. It would soon be evening. Time to head home. But first, she had to find Frank. And then she had to think up a story to explain to her producer, Doug, why they had no TV footage for Chasing History's Monsters.
Rogue Angel, Fury's Goddess, is a graphic audio production. Rogue Angel trademark owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2012, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2012, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Richard Rowan, Daniel Sontag, Bradley Smith, Terrence Aselford, Kimberly Gilbert, Thomas Keegan, Ken Jackson, and Nathaniel Perry. Directed by Colleen Delaney and Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Brian Rogers. Graphic audio sound design by Brian Rogers and Johann Detweiler. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Book adapted for graphic audio by Doug Krenzlin. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for Lilith St. Crow's Dante Valentine and Jill Kismet series, available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Graphic Audio presents R.A. Salvatore's masterpiece, The Saga of the First King. 1,000 years before the Demon War, the Abelican Church is beginning its rise over the dark and brutal Samhaist religion. But the rise is not without its battles. In the midst of this turmoil, there is tension between the Lairds of Haunts and rumors that a king is rising to rule them all. All the while, the people of Haunts are being slaughtered by the brutal encroachment of the hated, powering enemy. Only one man can usher forth justice for the people of Haunts. But his rise to power is cloaked in mystery and deceit. He is the Shadow of Haunts, the Masked Man, the giver and taker. Some call him wretched and evil, while others say righteous and just. He is the Highwayman. Be the first to hear the beginning of the epic new saga from fantasy master R.A. Salvatore, The Highwayman. Available now in graphic audio.
Nathan Stone carved a legend for himself on both sides of the law.
Damn it, Roscoe. If they don't ride him down, we're finished.
They won't ride him down because he won't be there. Them horses coming in with empty saddles is proof enough he's cashed in Tazby and Doss. Now he's got a horse and a gun and he's on his way here.
Yeah, well, I fear you may be right. I want you to remain here in this office until Sheriff Hondo and the posse return.
Right you are. I can take him. That's why I didn't ride with the posse. I'll gamble there ain't a man in the territory faster with a colt than me.
You lose.
Grandma?
Yes, dear?
Why can't you tell me something about my pa?
There's nothing for me to tell, John.
Who was he?
John, I can't tell you what I don't know.
Don't call me John, Grandma. Call me Wes, like Wes Harden the Outlaw.
Are you the sheriff?
That I am. Sheriff Littlefield.
And I have two questions for you, Sheriff. Where am I and why am I in jail?
You're in Houston, Texas, and you're in jail for bank robbery.
What evidence are you using against me?
Three outlaws robbed the bank, and we wounded two of them. We trailed the varmints and found two men. One of them was you, and the other was dead. We got all the evidence we need.
Nathan Stone, this court sentences you to 5 years in the state prison at Huntsville, Texas. Now Nathan Stone faces his future. Young Wes Tremaine looks for his past. Their destinies collide in a whirlwind of gunfire as they each follow a vengeance trail that can have only one outcome.
Captain, I understand that you and other parties intend to appeal the conviction of Nathan Stone, who's doing time at Huntsville for bank robbery. May I ask why?
We believe you and the state of Texas have sent an innocent man to prison. We intend to appeal his conviction.
I don't happen to agree with you, Captain, and I intend to see that your appeal is denied.
Do not interfere with Stone's appeal. I am asking you to back off.
And I'm refusing.
Have it your way. We can't make you back off, but by God, we can make you wish you had.
Granny, this is Wes Tremaine. He'll be staying with us for a month. Mr. Tremaine, this is Granny Boudlow.
I see you somewhere before.
I've never been in El Paso in my life until now.
Nathan, in your travels, have you come across a young hombre named Wesley Tremaine? Kid can't be a day over 16 if he's that, and he's chain lightning with a colt.
I haven't met him. It's an unusual name that I've heard only once, and that was long ago.
I hope you meet him one day. I saw him kill a man, his first, on the street here in Dodge, and he reminded me of you.
If we ever meet, I hope it's on friendly terms. I have more than enough hombres gunning for me. I'm Nathan Stone.
Wes Tremaine. I've heard of you.
And I've heard of you. You have friends in Dodge. Foster Hagerman and Harley Stafford spoke well of you.
I'm obliged to them. Bodie West, a friend of mine, told me about you.
Nathan, the boy is a spitting image of you. And I get the feeling he's the same kind of hard-headed idealist you were 20 years ago.
What are you trying to say?
Ever since Wes Tremaine came here, he's reminded me of someone I felt I ought to know. Granny spoke of it too, so it's not just a fancy of my own.
I had no way of knowing the Sandlin gang was coming, and even if I had known, they could have crossed the border anywhere along a 50-mile stretch. Damn it, I'm one man with one gun. Let them send for the Rangers.
I'll take the badge for a while, if you can arrange it.
I can arrange it, but are you sure that's what you want? I'd feel like I'm signing your death warrant.
I believe I can lure that bunch of owl hoots across the river. They have to think they can get their hands on me.
So you aim to set a trap with yourself as bait. There's just one of you, same as there's just one of me. They can always spring the trap, take the bait, and ride back across the river.
They can try. Get me the badge, and let me take a crack at it.
They'll kill you. The only reason they haven't already is that they couldn't find you.
She right. You young, have pretty woman. Why you want to die?
Wes, you and Renita could make a new start somewhere else, far from the border. You don't owe this town anything.
I don't run from a fight, however unfair or uncertain it may be.
Wes, it's not too late. Can't we just ride away?
No. They've called me out, and I'm going.
Please, isn't there something we can do to stop it?
Only he can stop it, and he'll die before he'll run.
They're gonna die. I swear before God they'll die. I'll hunt them down to the last man.
Since the spring of 1865, when the Civil War ended, Nathan Stone's Dawn of Fury led him through a 12-year killing season. As his path crosses Tremaine's, he comes to realize that he has lived to see the autumn of the gun.
Nathan!
Don't miss the third episode of Ralph Compton's Trail of the Gunfighter series, Autumn of the Gun. Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.